Hello, everybody. Welcome back to For the Girls. We are here with our Mexico Grand Prix preview. This is always such a fun race. And last year, we just had the most insane weekend attending in person. Sadly, this year, we will not be in Mexico City. But next best thing, we will be hosting our very own watch party in person in New York for those of you here. So we'll be posting about that leading up to it. And then after we do a brief Mexico Grand Prix preview, we are diving into our conversation with Matteo Lunelli. He is president and CEO of Ferrari Trento, which is the sparkling wine you see sprayed on the podium at every race. They're called the official toast of F1. So we had such a fun time talking with him at Austin in person. So the video is also on YouTube for you to see that. It was a very beautiful setup. And we just learned so much, especially about sustainable winemaking practices. So this is our October for the World episode. With that, I'm Tiggy.
I'm Chessa.
And I'm Sarah.
Okay, we are going to be in Mexico City, or the race will be in Mexico City. This is the Autódromo Hermanos Rodríguez. It is 71 laps, 4.3 kilometers with two nice DRS zones. And there's a few iconic areas throughout the circuit. One is the final corner. It's called Peraltada. It's at turn 17. And it used to be, back in the day, very scary, very fast, and very, very banked, which means the drivers could go even faster over it. That was obviously a safety concern, so it has since been adjusted to be slightly less banked and a few other updates to make a little bit more safer, but nonetheless, it's still an iconic turn for this track.
And this is a high altitude race, so teams will need to make adjustments for that. It actually impacts the engines, which is very interesting. And there's the iconic Foro del Sol section, which is a series of slower winding turns through grandstands. It's amazing. It's where Tiggy and Chessa sat last year. It's also where Taylor Swift did her concert this year. Fun fact.
Four of them, in fact.
Wow, of course.
Yes. Yeah, sitting in Foro del Sol last year was just so incredible. It was so fun. For a little bit of history and background, so this track has a long history. It was actually designed by a student in 1953 for his thesis project. I did not do anything that cool for my thesis. I did write a thesis, but it was not designing a track.
Okay, tell everyone what your thesis was about.
My thesis was on autonomous vehicle ride sharing and optimization in the US and China. So it actually is transportation related.
Hell yeah. Transportation and sustainability related. So it's actually exactly. Very related to this podcast.
It is, actually. But this track, it was built in 1959. It held its first Grand Prix in 1963. And it's actually named after Ricardo and Pedro Rodriguez, who were two brothers that sadly died in racing car accidents, but the track is still named after them, which is great.
Okay, let's talk about last year's race. Since Tiggy and I were there, it was kind of an anticlimactic race in terms of like the wheel-to-wheel action that we were hoping to get sitting in the most epic seats ever. But in the end, Max did break the then record for most race wins in a single season. Red Bull had won 9 races in a row at that point. We did not see a Checo win, which definitely left a lot to be desired, but we had Max P1, Lewis P2, and Checo in P3. And then I think for this race, the real winner, I think, was, and we had this a lot in our MVPs at the time, was Daniel Ricciardo, who went from a P13 start to a P7 finish with a 10-second even with a 10-second time penalty.
Going through a couple teams here. So for Red Bull, it is obviously Checo's home race. He has massive amounts of support here. It's so great to see him be such a big hometown hero. He definitely needs the support and the good atmosphere right now. We've talked a lot about his decline in form, and he got some solid points this weekend. But again, it was not kind of the type of podium finish the team is expecting in a Red Bull. One thing I'll be watching for, which I expect to be even kind of exacerbated, is Max got booed a lot on the podium in Austin, which was not, everyone was chanting Checo, Checo, and Max was on the podium, which is one thing. But then as Max like hoisting his trophy, everyone was booing, which I just think, and Max and Lewis have both said this even about each other's fans, which is nice. Like, it's just not okay to be booing drivers, even when you support, you can express your support for someone else in way more positive ways. So I don't know. I hope it just doesn't turn into kind of a negative atmosphere instead of just being super positive that everyone loves Checo.
Apparently, so I'm sure there were lots of people booing Max, but apparently it was also the governor of Texas that they were booing because he is not very well liked because he was the one giving trophies.
Yeah, but we didn't take remember how much booing they were doing last year too. So I think
totally,
it's gonna be rough. For Ferrari, I think Charles is just gonna be hoping for a better strategy, given that he is, in his mind and in Ferrari's mind, the number one driver. So he's going to be expecting to make a better comeback and hopefully a legal car this time.
For Mercedes, Austin was their last big upgrade of the season. And I guess it was almost too good, too close to the ground. but Lewis is going to be hungry for a win after this weekend, and not just a win, but just points in general. He's still chasing P2 against Checo. He would have closed the gap much more last race in Austin had he not been disqualified, but I think he'll come back ready to fight.
For McLaren, Piastri is hoping to bounce back after just a really unlucky weekend ending in a DNF. And meanwhile, kind of it was interesting that the way the tables turned, because the story was all Piastri and then it switched back to Lando's almost win this weekend. Lando was really kind of throwing down the gauntlet, reminding everyone how fast he is, how he can bring the fight to Max. So definitely looking for some excitement from McLaren in Mexico.
Yeah, definitely for them. I think for AlphaTauri, Danny only has up to go from here. And like I said, he was my MVP and I think he'll be in good professional form. I think for Aston Martin, I guess, Sarah, are you going to have like a hot take that Stroll's going to win? Not sure. Let's see. Since you seem to give him some love this week. But I think Alonso is going to be really hungry since he DNF'd this race kind of like at the end. So he'll be holding the team really accountable to make sure that the car is running as it needs to be. And it's going to be extra hard for the team too, right? Like what you said about the elevation.
We'll see if Stroll can also continue his form. On Danny, I feel like he really, you know, he only has a handful of more races before end of the season. I mean, he's signed, sealed, and delivered for the AlphaTauri seat. But depending on Checo's future, if people still think he's announcing his retirement, we have not talked about that yet. But yeah, I guess we'll find out. Danny should want to perform better than Austin. So for Haas, they brought upgrades to Austin and they didn't really pay off in the race. K-Mag had his moments earlier in the weekend. So the team is optimistic heading into Mexico, hoping to optimize on the upgrades.
Okay. And finally for Williams, we just had to throw in Logan here. Let's just keep the Loinz train rolling. And with that, let's do our hot takes and predictions. I think for me, I feel like I need to say a Checo win, but I'll just hold out hopes and hope that he gets a podium, which even that is pretty hot. And then let's go with Lando win this week.
Okay, so Lando win and Checo podium, that's what?
Yes, exactly.
That's the hot take? Okay.
At the same time? Wow, okay. I feel like that was pretty hot of both occurring.
Yeah.
I am going to go with a non-Red Bull win, which I think is hot enough. So I'm not going to specify who it is, but just a non-Red Bull win. I feel like there's a couple cars in the hunt right now, maybe not with a fully functioning Red Bull, but we'll see.
I'm going to go for a Lewis win. So we all have a non-Red Bull win as our hot take.
Wow.
Which is extremely spicy, but we'll see. All right. And with that, we are heading on over to our interview with Matteo. So enjoy.
Okay, friends, it's festival and concert season, and you know it's all about the boots this year. That's why you need to make Tecovas your number one place for festival style this spring. And don't forget to shop their seasonal and limited edition offerings, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. We love Tecovas. They have a first wear comfort, which basically means there's no break-in period. It's the best thing ever. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized, and with regular live music and events, there's really no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it to a store though, just visit tecovas.com, tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
All right, welcome to For the Girls. We are in Austin at the United States Grand Prix, and we are so lucky to be joined here with Matteo Lunelli, the president and CEO of Ferrari Trento, which is Italy's leading luxury sparkling wine producer and the official toast of F1.
Good morning. It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
We're so happy to have you here. So first, let's start with Formula One. How did Ferrari Trento become the official toast of F1? How did that come to be?
First of all, I would like to say that everything started from a dream. Really, it was a dream to become the official toast of Formula One since very long time. And then we started a conversation with Formula One in 2019. I remember there was a dinner with the Formula One team when they came to Italy for the Monza Grand Prix. And then actually the pandemic came. And I think that at that time, what made the difference was that we continued our conversation and we stayed completely convinced that this was the appropriate long-term project, because in the middle of the pandemic, that was not obvious at all. The Grand Prix were empty or without anybody attending. So each one of us was not sure if we would have gone back to normal and to having big events with a lot of people attending. But at that time, I think we believed that sooner or later we would have gone back to getting together again. And we thought that this was an incredibly amazing opportunity for our brand in the long term. So we embarked in this ambitious project in the middle of the pandemic. And that was, I think, an incredibly good decision that proved to be very successful. And so we started in 2021 this partnership. Which at the beginning was a three-year partnership. And then we already prolonged it for 5 years because we are very happy about it, and Formula One as well. So we thought it was appropriate to make it to at least up to 2025. Okay. And so we are the official toast of Formula One. All the champions celebrate with our Jeroboam on the podium. And we are also serving our Ferrari Trento in the best hospitality in all the Grand Prix around the world.
Yes, we've seen the bottles all around the world. So what is your favorite part about seeing Ferrari Trento up on the podiums?
It is always an emotion. I still remember the first time it happened. It was in Imola. Imola is the Italian Formula One Grand Prix, together with Monza. And actually, it's interesting because the Imola Grand Prix is dedicated to Made in Italy. So for us, representing Italy on the podium, bringing for the first time an Italian sparkling wine, an Italian brand in the celebration of Formula One, which is the most iconic celebration in the world of sport, I mean, we were so proud. So I still remember looking at it and thinking that this was a great result. And it was great for each one of us, for all the men and women that works now and have worked for Ferrari Trento in over a century of history. It was something that everybody in Trentino and in our territory was proud of. I received a lot of phone calls from our colleagues also in the wine world, because it was also for Italian wine a strong recognition. So first of all, I'm always very proud of it, and it's great to have something on that stage, a wine which is an expression of a territory and the result of the passion and work of so many talented people. So that's the first feeling I have. And then it's always, I also have a personal passion for Formula One, and that makes it even more special.
Amazing. And so we know you have many different types of sparkling wine. We've got a couple in front of us. What type of sparkling wine is actually in the bottles?
It is the most, I would say, classic Ferrari Trento, because our style is very much linked to Chardonnay. So it's a Blanc de Blanc, 100% Chardonnay from the mountains of Trentino. I always like to emphasize the terms mountain, because this is what distinguishes our territory and what distinguishes Ferrari Trento. We are a mountain sparkling wine. It is a traditional method, as all the Ferraris, because all Ferrari are Trento DOC. The denomination is Trento. So we cultivate our grapes on the slope of the mountains in Trentino, and all of our Ferrari makes the second fermentation in the bottle. So the sparkling and the perlage comes from a second fermentation that happens in the bottle. And after this fermentation, the wine age on the lees. The wine that we put in this Ferrari Geroba, which is the one we use for the podium of Formula One, ages for almost 5 years.
Wow.
In the darkness and silence of our cellar. So it is a very special wine. Somebody would say, actually, it's a pity that sometimes gets sprayed. But, you know, they also drink part of it. And I have to say that for us, it's also important to have an amazing wine inside, because actually, it is possible also to buy the same bottle that is used on the bottle.
I have been drinking it for years.
We have had it.
And even in the large format, for example, you know, in Austin here, if somebody wants to buy our wine, they can go to HEB, for example, which is a very common store here.
Yeah.
They decided to have a great presentation of Ferrari Trento. You can go all over the United States on wine.com and order it. And we have seen an incredible demand also for the large bottles, the same one used on the podium.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
It's great for a party. So
that's where
it
I
makes
first
it
got
very
it.
Special.
It's also a beautiful decoration. Once you're done, you keep the bottle.
Exactly. Okay, so we have to ask, are you a fan of Scuderia Ferrari?
Yes, I have to say yes. For, you know, on once, first of all, I have to say we are the official toast of Formula One, and it's always great to see the champion celebrating. It's great to see, you know, I have an incredible respect for Max Verstappen and for Red Bull. And, you know, we are proud that he have toasted and celebrated so many times, as well as, for example, before Lewis Hamilton with Mercedes. I have an incredible respect for him, for Toto Wolff, for all the team, George Russell. So in the best wins, and we are happy that he celebrates with Ferrari. Then obviously I'm Italian. I grew up being a Ferrari, Scuderia Ferrari fan. So that's obviously if it happens that there is a, what I call a Ferrari squared on the podium,
let's hope.
Then, you know, then I'm happy, obviously. It's good. And Charles and Carlos are friends. You know, many of the team of Scuderia Ferrari are friends that I see around. We meet on the planes coming from Italy to the GP, so it's it's obvious. But as I said, it's Formula One is really a family. The more we are staying with them, and the more you get to know people, and I would say it's overall a family with all the Scuderia. So
yeah.
I'm a fan, but I have to say that each one of the drivers, each one of the team makes it special. You know, it's great to see Lando Norris celebrating with Ferrari, because nobody celebrates like him with our bottle.
Breaking trophies and such.
No, I mean, that was actually unfortunate. And I'm actually, sometimes I'm even scared that when he crashed the bottle on the floor, that it exploded. Because I told him, Lando is not made to do that, so pay attention. He said, no, don't worry. I said, I worried a little bit, but, you know, it's certainly fun. So he's the best, you know, the best one in celebrating on the podium, I have to say. It's awarded to Lando Norris and to McLaren. It's I love Yuki Tsunoda.
Yeah.
He came to visit our winery.
That's
you know,
so great.
Two
he's
weeks
a connoisseur of food and wine.
He loves food and wine, and he lives in Faenza. He lives in Italy, so Alfa Tauri is in Faenza, so he's based in Italy. And I have a passion for Japan and for Japanese food. He loves Italy where he lives, so we sometimes talk about it. He always asks me about the wine, and I always invited him to come and visit us. So he took the chance 2 weeks ago, and he came to visit us. So that was special. And, you know, I obviously would love to see him on the podium once and celebrating with our Ferrari Trento. So
it'll happen.
For sure. You know, we look forward.
So we talked a little bit about before we started recording, some of your favorite races. But tell us a favorite race or a favorite experience with Ferrari Trento on the podium.
The favorite races, you know, first of all, it's probably Italy, because of the atmosphere that is also very special for us, being at home. I remember there is a very nice picture of the last podium in Monza, where we see the drivers with the bottles and all the people on the straight line. It's full and packed. It's full and packed of. But each race has its own character. I told you I love Japan. And if you go to Suzuka, you see that the race weekend is a great representation of their culture, the way they stay together. So that's also nice. You know, if you go to Monza, you expect the Italian crowd and the energy, the passion of the Italian crowd. If you go to Suzuka, it's the orderly elegance of and of the Japanese fans, which in the fan zone, you know, when you, it's impressive, because when you go away from Suzuka in the evening, even in the fan zone, you could eat on the floor, on the ground.
I'm sure that's not happening here in Austin.
And it's not gonna happen anywhere in the world, not, you know, in the US or in, but so it's great that when you go to a GP, you discover a place, the culture. Mm-hmm. If you go to Monte Carlo, because of the history and because of the place, that's a magic. It's magic to watch it. I remember that the first year we were the official toast of Formula One with Ferrari Trento, we were still in the middle of the pandemic, not in the middle, but it was still very much closed. So we decided to have some guests on a boat so that we could control more. Everybody was tested and was very well organized, and so I watched it from a boat. We had some incredible guests as well. There was one of the most famous soccer players in Europe now, Erling Haaland. Yeah. We had Berrettini, who is the tennis champion. We had Quartararo, the motorbike champion. So that was, and we would watch the race just from this boat, which was in front of Curva del Tabaccaio. You know, in the Tabagonist, it's called the Tabagonist because historically in Monaco, on that turn, there is a there is a tabaccaio, and so from that, I still remember. Also because what made it special was that it was a period where nothing was happening, so having an event like that, it was even more special. The following years, it was great to see, you know, the GP becoming again a great party with all the fans coming and all the parties happening on the boats and in the hotels and in so Monte Carlo is special, and just the view and arriving perhaps from the sea to the circuit.
It's very iconic. It's an iconic race.
Yeah, when you have to go to the paddock club, you go with the boat. So sometimes from the hotel directly to the paddock. So that's
bucket list.
That's very special. So each race is special. You know, when you come to Texas and to Austin, you feel the atmosphere of Texas.
And, we saw you have your cowboy boots on. You're ready to go.
Yes, I bought it here the first year I came to Austin. Our partner in the United States is called Tau Family Selection. He's our importer, and Dave, who is the representative of Tau Family Selection in this area. He told me, you know, if you want to be here, you got to be a cowboy. So yeah, he brought me to buy some beautiful boots, and each when I come back to Austin, they are with me. So I'm ready to go with the boots.
Okay, so we want to turn to sustainability. So winemaking obviously has a dependence on and a very strong relationship with the earth, with the environment, and you all focus a lot on sustainability from renewable energy, biodiversity projects, all sorts of things. So tell us, we have read your sustainability report, but tell us a little bit about your approach to sustainability at Ferrari Trento.
First of all, as you said, wine is an expression of the territory. Mm. We work with nature, and it is the territory that provides us the style of the wine. So I think we need to feel even more the duty to protect the territory. And at the heart of our sustainability approach is the idea to protect the environment and our territory, and to promote also our land and territory. Mm-hmm. So first of all, in the vineyards, when we cultivate our vineyards, we want to balance the objective of obtaining an excellent grape for creating Ferrari Trento sparkling wines with the objective of preserving the environment and the health of the people working in the vineyard, because that's also very important, actually. It's one of our priority. So We started long ago to make to this path towards sustainability in vine growing. We started with some experimental biodynamic and organic vineyard. Mm-hmm. And slowly we realized that it was possible to make organic viticulture also in a mountain environment. I underlined that that's different, for example, than making organic viticulture in Sicily, because in Sicily, you know, you don't have a lot of rain, the climate is more is much warmer, so usually it's easier to make organic in a warmer climate. But so at the beginning, there were some somebody was not convinced that it was possible to make organic viticulture in such a large scale on a in the middle of the mountain in Trentino. But we made it. We made it first on a single vineyard, and then slowly more and more in all of our vineyards. And in 2017, we got certified on all our state vineyards. And so this was this made possible for us to demonstrate to all our vine grower suppliers that that it was possible to make organic viticulture. So we created a protocol of organic of sustainable viticulture that all our vine grower suppliers follow. Wow. So at the moment, basically, Ferrari is made with grapes coming from our state vineyards, which are organic, and from vine growers, which follow a protocol of sustainable viticulture, which bans pesticide, herbicide. We use no chemical treatment. So it is a more traditional, in a sense, way of cultivating vineyards. But we think that long term, this is also beneficial to the quality of the grape, because the vineyard starts to acquire its own a better equilibrium, and we are very proud of what we have done in that respect. And then on the 120th anniversary of the from the foundation of Ferrari Trento, we achieved carbon neutrality.
Congratulations.
That's another thank
That's
you very much.
Yeah, that is
really no, thank you very much. It is it was a milestone also to demonstrate our commitment to sustainability on such an important anniversary. We are carbon neutral scope 1 and 2. At the end, in terms of environmental sustainability, I think what we have done, it's a path. So so long term, we will continue towards new objectives. Then there is something which is equally important, which is our attention, as I said before, to the community and to the land of Trentino and to the territory that hosts us, which is linked to the idea of a social and economic sustainability. We are proud to promote Trentino, which I mentioned many times, by the way, and here. And we also put the name Trento on the podium of Formula One. So I think this is a way for us to contribute to the growth and to the wealth of our homeland, as much as we contribute by giving work and wealth to all our grape growth suppliers, which provide the grapes to us. So it is a sustainability approach that has this focus, it is a these are values that we share with all the team.
Yeah, no, it's so great to hear you talk about it so holistically too. It's not just like you're checking one box, but you're really thinking about the entire operation. And of course, it's not affecting the quality. It is a wonderful wine. We've had it.
No, thank you. And it's the something I didn't mention, which is as important, is also the attention to talent and people. So I think what we need to do is working in harmony with the environment, and with being you know, having a positive contribution to the community that hosts us, and promoting the talent of those working with us, and protecting and promoting the talent of those working with us, and that's the whole idea of sustainability. And
yeah, when you think about sustainable development goals, it's just as much about people as it is about the environment. Yes. So it's great that you're thinking about that. So thinking a little bit about climate change and shorter growing seasons, water scarcity, those sorts of things, is that affecting your production at all already? Or how are you adapting to that?
For sure, we are touching and we are witnessing the global warming. And if you look at the long-term trend of the harvest time, mm-hmm. is getting earlier and earlier. Yeah. But we have a great advantage in Trentino. Being in a mountain environment, we can partially compensate the global warming by moving higher and higher mm-hmm. our vineyard. So let me explain. We cannot move a vineyard itself, but by planting new vineyard at higher altitude and by acquiring new grape grower suppliers at higher altitude, we get grapes that can compensate in the cuvée. Mm-hmm. Basically, in Trentino, if you go 100 meter higher in altitude, you get almost 1 degree less in the average temperature throughout the year. So if you look at what is the change in temperature long term, we can just compensate it by moving the average altitude of our vineyard by a reasonable amount. So it is a long-term objective that we have. We already started long ago to just acquire new vineyards at higher altitude. And looking at the next generation of our family, it is important for us to think that we will leave them with vineyards which on average would be higher. Where nowadays in Trentino you can cultivate vineyards at altitudes that were not possible at the time of Giulio Ferrari. So when our founder created Ferrari Trento in 1902, we now go up to even 800 meters.
Wow.
Yeah, which in the Alps was long ago was not an appropriate area to grow the vine. So yes, we are witnessing global warming, but as I said, being in the mountains, we have this chance, because if we would live in a flatland, then there would be no way even to compensate, because our goal is to maintain the style of our wines. And being, the temperature is very important, because, if you compensate by harvesting earlier the grapes and long-term, you are losing the aromatic maturation, mm-hmm. because the vine needs time to fully develop the aroma. And what is the characteristic of our grapes, of Chardonnay, for example, is that being located in the mountains, we can harvest this, for example, the Chardonnay, which has this bright yellow golden color because it's fully mature. It has this very nice aromatic profile, but still it has a well-balanced acidity. Yeah. And the acidity in the grape that we harvest is very important, because it will deliver in the wine finesse, freshness, crispiness.
Finesse, I love that. Yeah.
It's making me thirsty.
We just want to finish really quick talking about biodiversity. I know you guys have gotten the Biodiversity Friend Award many years, since 2015, actually, by the Worldwide Biodiversity Association. So what does that mean to you, and how are you thinking about biodiversity?
Biodiversity is very important for the planet. It is something that we need to protect. Unfortunately, at the world level, we are decreasing biodiversity for many reasons. And so as part of our attention to the environment, we want to monitor biodiversity in all our vineyards. And the biodiversity certification friends allow us to measure the biodiversity of our vineyard year over year.
Nice.
And luckily, the data we are getting is that, first of all, because we have organic viticulture, there is a very strong and important biodiversity in our vineyards. Mm-hmm. If you look at the vineyards, there are insects, there are flowers, there is nature. And that's coming from, that's the result of the respect that we have for our style of cultivating the vines. And the way we measure biodiversity is very simple. Actually, those professional who makes the certification, for example, they even dig in the soil, and they count the insects, and they give you points, scores in terms of how many, what are the different species they find. And they measure it throughout the years. Plus, we are in the mountains. Our vineyards are surrounded by forest, by alpine woodland, and And so the I think the level of biodiversity we have is anyway very, very high already. Yeah. So we just it's just a question of protecting it and monitoring it. And as I said, it is important for the world in general. We even put beehives close to the to our vineyards because that's very helpful for biodiversity and for in general for the overall equilibrium.
You should talk to Sebastian Vettel about that.
Yeah, you know, we thought about it. We thought we will probably do it.
Yeah, yeah.
We could have a Ferrari Trento honey that comes out or something.
That would be good. Well, you all are a model for sustainable winemaking and lots of other things and thinking about community, thinking about team. So we cannot wait to see Ferrari Trento on the podium today. We're so excited.
Hopefully
and we're hoping for a good
race.
Ferrari squared. But Matteo, thank you so much for joining us. This was so wonderful and we learned a lot. So
thanks to you for inviting me. It was a great pleasure. I also look forward to go now to the track and watch the race. Mm-hmm. It's going to be exciting and looking forward to the podium. And for those who are listening, I hope they can also watch the race and celebrate like the champions, you know, with Ferrari Trento. If not now, and for the next GP,
yes.
You know, just get a bottle of Ferrari Trento at home and celebrate with your friends like the champions on the podium.
Nothing sounds better. Thank you so much.
Thanks to you.